Okay, good evening everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called The Simplicity of Stillness. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the line this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Marlies Carlin. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've actually tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Marlies a whole series of questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through our site by you, our listeners. Now, I first actually connected with Marlies, funnily enough, on Facebook, and I guess Facebook is just such a beautiful way to connect people all around the world, and I was really taken aback by the energy that was exuding out of Marlies's profile, just some of the updates she was sharing, and I guess the interaction with her friends and followers really resonated with me on a deep level, and I thought she'd be an excellent guest for the People You Should Meet program. And I guess the topic we're exploring this evening as well, the whole notion of stillness, I guess in today's modern world, it's possibly one of the most challenging things for most people to really access that space, and then once they've accessed that space, have a deep ongoing connection with that space of stillness. So it's going to be a really interesting call, and I'm sure it's going to provide you with lots of upliftment and wisdom as well. Now, Marlies used to be a film producer, but in the year 2002, she had a series of experiences that opened her up and opened her life up to this profound work and this profound new way of being. And since the year 2004, she's actually travelled the world sharing her message and empowering people all around the world. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome to our call Marlies Carlin. How you doing, Marlies?
Very wonderful. Thank you. Nice to be here. Hello to everyone. It's so exciting to know that we have so many people from all over the world on this call. I just love that.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, Marlies, I thought I'd actually kick us off at the start, and like I mentioned in the introduction, that actually accessing that place of stillness can, in fact, be one of the most challenging things to actually achieve in our demanding modern day world. And I was just wondering if you could share with us, is the simplicity of stillness really a possibility for all people?
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. And let me say this, stillness is a word that more and more people are recognizing today, you know, although it's been around for quite some time. And the simplicity of stillness is the method, if you would say, the tool that I have created that allows you to find that place of stillness within a breath. Now, when you begin to experience this, and it can be in the middle of the day, but you want to give yourself the time to go deep, and once you've tapped into that place of stillness, as you continue to practice it, you will begin to feel it every day, and you can re-tap into it within a breath on your own, because it is something we all already have inside. And the simplicity of stillness helps us connect to it again and again and on deeper and deeper levels each time we go to this place of quiet inside.
Great. Now, Marlies, I mentioned in the introduction as well that you were a film producer, and I just was wondering if you could actually describe for us the whole process for you. So, like, you had these profound series of experiences in 2002. Now, I was just wondering if you could actually describe your life before these experiences, describe the experiences themselves, and also describe what has actually transpired since actually heeding the call of becoming a teacher and sharing this work.
Oh, that's a big package.
So before, during, and after, I guess.
How far back do you want me to go? Well, really, I do want to ask you that question. Are you asking just the period of time when I was a film producer, or are you asking what led
to that? Just life in general. Like, how was your, I guess, your approach to living, and how has it changed, essentially?
Right. Well, you know, I've gone through a lot of challenging times in my life, a lot. You know, having left home at 16 and, you know, getting into drugs and all the different things that I got involved in. And then life got simpler, and I began a spiritual journey of looking deeper for who I was. And then life got so good that I stopped looking, per se, because kind of enjoying the moment. And then in 2002, I began to recognize that I could experience that state of deep peace that mystics and poets and have spoken about and written about for centuries, that it wasn't so distant, that it really could be experienced in my lifetime. And so I began to leave room for it in my life. I began to request that it come to me, and I began to have lots of time that I gave myself for going into stillness, for taking the time for introspection. And during that time, I began to feel this like an energy surge begin to move through me, and I began to see things differently. And these times were so powerful that it's like when a moment feels like it's hours, or hours feels like it's a moment, but when you come out of it, in a sense, the world is sparkling, and you understand things better, and you want to be kinder. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's like you get so many new insights, and all these insights came to me, and I was appreciative of it, but I didn't feel I would be a teacher of it. I thought it was just to add to my own life. And at the same time, I always wanted people to know who we are beyond the, beyond that moment. Let me just stop for a second. I've had a lot of pain in my life, and I attached myself to that pain. So when I experienced this deep state of stillness, it was beyond that pain. It was beyond that image of who I had been. And I wanted other people to experience the power of who they are. And then messages began to come to me that this is something for everyone to know, and that I should begin to take it out into the world so more people could tap into that place for themselves. I think I'm part of the way answering your questions.
And so I guess in heeding that call to become a teacher, and you said it wasn't something that you'd really contemplated before. Has it been a very natural and organic process?
It has. It's like even when you are fearful and you don't know what to do, when you look inside and you have the knowing to walk the journey, you just take the first step. Because how would I, never ever saying I want to be a teacher, make this happen? I'm not making it happen. I just, you know, what I heard inside was, Marlise, open your hands and go. You know, and it will unfold. And it did. It's just like when I went to Kenya, Africa, and someone had invited me to come there and said they would have sessions. And yet when I arrived, it was raining so intensely that people were trying to leave Kenya because you couldn't see the animals, you couldn't do anything. It was rain, rain, rain. And so everything that we had planned completely dissolved. And then in the midst of all this, so to speak, turmoil, my guide took me to his village. And it stopped raining, and he lit a fire, and out of the darkness of the night, all these villagers came. And then he stood up and said, here is my friend Marlise, and she has something to share with us. And so there I am on the plains of Africa, surrounded by Maasai tribesmen.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, offering a stillness session. You know,
wow.
And what I learned is people don't even need to speak the same language. What this is so powerful and connects us heart to heart that these people had experiences that were extraordinary. I had heard later that some quit drinking who'd been drinking their whole lives. Others began to look deeper into new ways to live and began to look into becoming a pilot, and all kinds of things began to happen, you know. Mm. So I just walked the journey and let what's meant to happen unfold.
Mm. Now, one of the things, Melissa, that I've been pondering on recently is this, I guess, releasing the binds of habitual responses to life. And sometimes these habitual responses could be linked into belief. Other times it could be linked into programming. And I guess what I really liked about the story you just shared there was, I guess, having a circumstance where you had a particular view on how things would unfold, and then that the rain actually preventing that from happening, and I guess making yourself available for life to flow through you. Like, you actually were brought to like a miraculous experience. And is that something that you commonly experience from that space of stillness?
It is. And that's the way I see life unfolding now all the time. It isn't that there aren't what I call breakdowns, you know, that happen around me. There are things that you think won't happen, or, oh, gosh, gee, why is this happening? But I now can recognize that there's a gift inside it. So don't make it wrong. Don't make it bad. Flow with what is and see what shows up. And it's always greater than what I could have planned. But if we don't leave space for it in our lives, if we don't allow ourselves to be flexible and open to what can come, then we block the gifts that are wanting to come to us.
Excellent. And another interesting thing you mentioned there as well, Melissa, was the whole notion of energy, and it actually, this work is beyond language. And I was just wondering if you could actually go a little bit deeper into the energetic dimension of this work.
Well, you've tapped into that it is beyond words, because sometimes if you speak of energy, you think of how you feel if you have a triple espresso, but that's not it. And when you connect to that place inside that we all have, that innate freedom that lives inside us, it's so delicious that you won't have a name for it. What I love about it is I experience it also on a sensorial level. So it isn't something my mind has to wonder if it happened. I feel it throughout my whole body. And I not only feel it in the moment of being in it, there is a sensorial connection to it, walking, talking, moving through life. Now, sometimes it's stronger and sometimes it's less. But that's just my allowing myself to feel what is always there, not that there's anything less. Although, when I buy into the challenges of life and old beliefs and things that shut me off from that connection, resistance to what is, then I do feel it diminish because I am in old patterns.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of the things I've been, again, pondering a lot recently is just this instrument we have all been given, our unique human instrument, and just making that instrument as available as possible, and just really paying really close attention to all the times during our days that we shut down and we go through these habitual responses or addictive responses. because in those moments it's almost like we do cut off the life force from really being able to flow through the instrument.
Yes. That's why I write about the different practices, because there are core practices of the simplicity of stillness that will allow you to experience that emanation, that energy life stream, and go there. And there are other practices that can be utilized when we're so stuck. You know, when we're so, because, you know, there's an energy of anger, isn't there?
Mm.
So there, that's an energy also. And when you're very angry or very, you know, worried, you can't move right into stillness. Mm. You know, you just can't. Your body is like screaming and your mind is swirling. And so I've created a variety of practices that support us to move those energies through and out of the body and then allow us to go back and tap into that place of stillness.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, Marlies, if you could actually describe the practices for people at home so that they can move closer to experience this stillness on a regular basis.
Well, are you speaking of the core practices or the practices
the actual core
resistance?
Practices, yeah. Yeah, the core practices.
The core practice of the simplicity of stillness is you can experience it by coming to my programs. You can experience it through teleseminars in that time of stillness. You can experience it through the stillness sessions and CDs. And when we take that time together, you begin to feel this dropping down. And you begin to feel that stilling quality. Like, let's just take a moment now. Now, sometimes on radio, people don't like this because they want everybody to stay really rapidly awake. But let's just breathe together, okay? Let's just begin to do this three-breath awareness. And what it is you relax your body, put your body in a very comfortable position so that everything can flow through you. You can open your hands if you like and place them in your lap. And then begin to breathe very deeply. And breathe so deep you can actually feel and hear the breath moving through you. Deep breath in. Deep breath out. Deep breath in. Deep breath out. Now with every breath, feel any tension you might have being released. With every breath, you ride on that wave of your breath from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. Now keep breathing as I'm speaking and allow yourself to focus within. So that if there are thoughts in your mind, you can just see them drifting by you like clouds on a windswept day. And with each breath you take, you allow yourself to move deeper and deeper within. After a period of time of doing the practices, you can do this three-breath awareness with your eyes open, even when someone is speaking to you. You can do it in a crowded room. You can do it with two people. You can do it by yourself. And as you begin tapping into that place, that core place of strength that accesses the truth as you know it, after time, you'll be able to tap into it within just a breath. So now, slowly and gently, bring yourself fully back into awareness. Now, we only spent a few moments. I don't know if that was even 1 minute. And I'm sure that many of you began to feel that bit of tingling, that bit of everything slowing down. So imagine doing this regularly. And you can imagine, just like any practice, it becomes stronger and stronger every time. And of course, when we allow ourselves to have really some time to go deep, then we're really putting it in such a way that that expansiveness opens with greater and greater ease.
It's
how are you feeling?
No, I'm magnificent. deep in the bliss.
Could you feel, even in just those few moments, just something beginning to shift?
The really interesting thing that I noticed, actually, that came up was just my perspective of time actually totally changed. Like from when you actually mentioned we'd been doing it for a minute, like it actually felt like we'd been in that space of stillness for quite a lot longer than that. And I was just wondering, like by actually becoming present and becoming still, can it in fact change people's perspective of time?
Totally. Yes. You know, so many people come to my programs who've been meditating for a long time, and then there are also people who have never meditated, or they've tried it and they didn't like it and it didn't work, and they're clear that they can't do it. And when they come, and we have different times of moving into stillness, and often we'll have a time of going into stillness for sometimes 20 and 30 minutes, and they're the first people to raise their hands and say, oh, no, that's impossible. That was only, I think, maybe 5 minutes. And yet they look at their watch, and they go, oh, my gosh, how could that happen? It's like a time warp, you know?
Because
We go someplace, but where is it that we go?
Awesome. Now, I was just wondering if you had some stories, Marlies, of people who have connected in with the stillness practices and what kind of difference is actually made in their everyday lives.
Yes. I think I have millions. That's my favorite. One of my favorite parts of this work is seeing the extraordinary shifts that happen in people's lives. You know, I remember I was in Amsterdam, and one man spoke at the end of the full-day retreat, and what I heard was that stillness, that connection to who we are beyond what we know, resonating so powerfully inside him when he spoke. And I asked the group of people, could you feel that? So suddenly, the place he'd tapped into could be experienced by everyone in the room. And he said, I have tapped into what I have known from a long time ago, from my childhood, but I have missed it, and I re-tapped into it today, and I know that it will grow for me. And then I discovered a year later when I saw him, because he came to another program in Vienna, that he had actually had a drinking habit for many, many years of his life, and it was pretty big. You know, I can't remember, but he drank a lot. You know, a quart a day of whiskey or something like that. And within a month of doing the practice, it completely stopped for him.
Wow.
Which is, you know, when you think, my goodness, and we think our addictions, you know, we've been trained to think that it's impossible for them to go. But they can. They really can go. Now, what did he do to maintain that? I'm not sure. Because I don't want to tell everybody your addiction will leave you overnight. Some of it I feel is a journey so that we can have the awareness of what it is. And then as we are allowed to see that, it can begin to leave us and we tap into whatever practices and habits we need to make in our life that can continue to keep those addictions, you know, away from us or in such an awareness that we can continually keep them dissolved in our life.
Mm.
It was so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there was also... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, you have another story?
No, I have plenty. You can ask me.
Okay,
what age group would you like?
Oh, I would love to hear another story.
Or what nationality? So a mother asked me to speak to her daughter and to offer her the practice of the simplicity of stillness when she was 10 years old because her father had recently died of cancer, and she was very angry. And she was angry at him, and she was having problems at school, and she was just challenged everywhere in her life. And I recently met with her, and what I saw was this confident 11-year-old who loved her life. It was like, wow. And everyone will be able to see this soon because we captured it on video. But what she spoke about is how she understands the breath now, and she can tap into it in a moment. And so when things get challenging at school, and she specifically spoke about sometimes children laugh at things that she doesn't feel is appropriate, you know, like when they're bullying someone or when they're doing things that are not kind, and that when she begins to do the breath, it helps her to get into a place of strength so she doesn't join in. And in fact, she has become so strong, she searches out people that are challenged, and she helps them to find their core now as well.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. When you hear her speak, I had to say again, how old are you? You know, like, wow, I wish I could have known that at 11 years old. You know? And her mother tells me that now she gets in the car and she's happy every day and she loves her life. And, you know, when I asked her again about the differences that happened from when her father passed away, she has a hard time connecting to the sadness now because she speaks about that she realizes that everything in life is for a reason. And what she gets now is how much love she gets from all the members of her family. So she goes from the sadness, boom, like instantly into this other place of appreciation.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's beautiful.
So I guess if an 11-year-old can do it, we all have the potential inside of us to really step into that beauty and grace.
We do. And that's why I like to speak about it as rebooting. Because for years we've made it very complicated. Or even if it is simple, it's felt complicated. But nowadays, with understanding technology, everybody understands the word reboot. You know, your computer is a mess. Everything is doing glitchy. Reboot. And when you reboot, what happens? The screen becomes clear. Things move more quickly. You have a greater understanding. You can hit that search button and find what you need. You know, and we all want to hit that search button when we don't know an answer. So when we reboot and we tap into this place of stillness, we connect to the infinite potential, to that field of all potential where all the answers lie. Mm. So it's not the small self, is it? Because we don't have all the answers. But when we tap into that field of awareness, that's where the answers lie. And then we can feel that and know that and begin to take inspired action, take steps on what we hear to bring greater understanding, to bring our dreams into reality, you know?
Mm. It's amazing. It almost seems like a paradox to move beyond what we know and actually arrive in a place of the most deep, exquisite knowledge that's beyond the mind.
Yes. And what I have learned is, it is in today's world about bringing it into the now. Mm. This is not about go hang out on a mountaintop. This is about being here now. And it's about tripping and falling and getting up again. We all have this, or many, let's say, we have a vision of, oh, we're going to experience this place, and then we'll never have another problem, and life will just be rainbows every day. And that isn't my experience. Mm-hmm. And what I experience is extraordinary, and it is about living in the now and bringing that experience that we tap into in that field of all potential into the now, so we share it with our friends and we share it with our neighbors just by who we be.
Absolutely. Very, very wise words. Now, Marlisa, I mentioned earlier on that we've had questions come in from all around the world, and I just thought I would kick off with a question from Daryl Louise in the United Kingdom. And Daryl Louise asks, how long does it actually take before your techniques can develop into habits?
I would say that depends on the person, because each of us can invite this in, you know, as much as we want. Now, what I equate it to is we already all have it. It's like an athlete who becomes an Olympian and gets the gold medal, right? Mm. That knowing that he has inside, that skill that he has inside, is there from day one. It's always been there. But unless he or she taps into it and then practice it again and again so that he gets better and better and better, how will you even know what you have? And believe me, what I love about this, it's so natural that you can add it to your life in a very simple way. So for the mommies and daddies who are out there who have, you know, five children and a job and life is busy, you begin to add it to your own life in the simplest way you can. If you're at work, go to your computer, download the session, a stillness session, sit there with it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. If you can, do it at night before you go to sleep. You know, add it to your life. And after a while, it will come to you so naturally. You'll be, like I said, adding it in several times a day by doing the three-breath awareness. So you don't get caught in that cycle where everything's moving so fast and you think it's impossible.
Awesome. Now, this question comes from Deirdre in the United States. And Deirdre asks, what is the difference between meditation and practicing the simplicity of stillness?
The first thing I would say is that the goal is the same. It is connecting to the essence of who we are. And that has been around for centuries. And what I discovered in the simplicity of stillness is a way to connect to that essence of who we are, as I said, within a breath. And it's a way to connect to it where I feel it so physically all the time. And I believe that was part of my request, because often when I used to meditate, I would sit and watch laundry lists of my to-dos fill my brain. But I would sit for those 20 minutes, and then I'd get up and go, well, okay. You know? And that's not the experience of many people today. They do begin to experience, like you did, that time, something happens with time. Mm-hmm. Then many people experience feeling it physically, like a tingling in the hands. And then there are people who will say, well, I didn't see any stars or rockets, but I did feel very peaceful. Okay, that's good. We don't always feel that either. Yeah. And we'll, you know, and every time you do it, something else will happen. So rather than try to say, you know, one gives me this or one gives me that, just add it into your life. If you've been meditating for years, well, try on this new pair of shoes. Add it into your practice. Take the stillness session CD and add it into your own practice and see what happens. If you've never meditated, forget what that's about and just dive into stillness and see what that brings to you. Let's don't make it difficult. The minute we make something difficult, we resist it and we push it away. So whatever we can do that says, ooh, let's try this on, that's what we want to do.
Great. Now, this question comes from Muhammad in the United Arab Emirates. And Muhammad asks, how do you separate the true messages given from your inner being from the false thoughts of your mind?
What I experience is the feeling you have inside. The feeling you have inside will guide you. When you are guided to take a step in a new direction, it might not feel perfectly clear, but it feels good when you think about it. You might even have this moment of, oh, I don't know, but something inside you says, take a step, try it. Where on the other hand, when you hear something that every time you think about it fills you with enormous fear, that's a sign too. Where I think people get confused is sometimes we think that these messages should arrive in a different format, you know, a booming voice or sounds from above, you know, and some people will get those. But what I find is when you've made the request of what you want to know and you've gone into stillness and you're asking for that answer to come, it could either come within the moment, within the next 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, or it could come during the day, or it could come in the next days. And it might be a series of answers. So let me put it in a very practical. I had gotten messages that I was to move to a new location. Okay, well, what does that mean? I begin the hunt. I begin to look. I don't find anything right away, but does that tell me that's not meant to be? No, I keep looking. Once I had heard the message to move to Arizona, I actually got into escrow in buying a property, and in a 24-hour time period, the property was completely, literally taken away from me. The broker didn't, you know, move on what I'd asked. Somebody else bought the house. Wow. And I thought, oh, my goodness. I did have that moment of, what? You know, what? You know, so you have to, you know, wait a minute, I'm listening to the message. How could this happen? And I know when I feel like that, I have to give myself space to let it all sink in. And then I have a knowing that I'm being guided. So even when there's a rock in the road, that rock is guidance. Losing that house was guidance. Did I feel good about it immediately? Absolutely not. Did I wonder who the heck that broker is that could have lost me that? Yes, I did. I was slightly challenged to send her blessings. And I did at the end of the day, although I didn't continue with her. I did let it be, and after a period of time, begin the search again. And I did find where I was supposed to go. So maybe that was the universe saying, not there. Keep going. Keep going. Mm. But it isn't that I made a big mistake. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. I began the journey. Take the step. Then when the rock in the road appears, stand back, get back into stillness, ask for the next step. Maybe the place I was to find hadn't even happened yet. So I needed to wait another 4 months for it to happen. See what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Well, yeah. I love the whole concept as the rock being guidance.
Yeah.
And often we see the rock and we can't see past it, but to actually look at it as a teacher and to embody the teaching and continue on that path with the next step, it's very, very profound advice.
It is profound, and I will tell you, it's been around for centuries. Mm. And there is, in Hindu, I believe it is, there is Ganesh. And Ganesh is called the remover of obstacles. You've probably seen him. He's a deity that has an elephant head.
Yeah.
And he's called the remover of obstacles, and he will put something in your way if you're going the wrong direction. So it isn't that he's standing on the roadway clearing the path for you and putting roses down every day. You know, so I love that visual. He's also putting big boulders there when you've listened to something inside you that was an old way of being and you're walking down the wrong road. But that's okay. You know, it's good. It's good because sometimes maybe I needed to see that I could actually get into blessing this woman at the end of the day, the broker. Even though part of me wanted to say, how could you misunderstand what I said, you know, so much? I wanted that place. I wanted it. But, you know, in the other hand, the understanding that came to me was she was a catalyst so that I wouldn't walk down the wrong road. And believe me, today, from where I landed, I'm so much happier. When I look at the comparison of the two places that I would have had from where I got now to where I was about to purchase, oh my gosh, I'm so much happier.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is amazing. In our culture, we seem to celebrate the things that move us forward, but then curse the things that hold us back. But often they're a real gift.
That includes people.
It's hard to see it in the moment.
Yes. And that includes many of the people, you know, who drive us mad. And they are those catalysts to help us understand often quite so much.
Absolutely. Now, this question actually comes from Mel in the United Kingdom. And Mel asks, our baby was stillborn at 41 weeks, perhaps surprisingly after the last couple of years of self-development. I spend most of my time feeling acceptance and gratitude. Occasionally, I have a day or two where I miss Finley, our baby, so much, and my arms feel so empty. I wonder what advice you would have for me that would help us through this difficult time.
Is the person's name Mel, did you say?
Mel, it's Mel.
Mel. the first thing I want to say right now is hold your hands open, and everyone can join him and feel the love that is pouring into you. And just feel that love that resonates through all of us pouring into your heart right now. It's just like an acceleration. I can feel it through my whole being right now. So I thank you for this question. And I want you to know that I had an experience of who we are beyond being here on this physical realm in these bodies. And it's so exquisite and so beautiful. When you tap into it, you know that death isn't a barrier to that experience. You know that that's who we are beyond the physical experience we're having right now. That's who we are. So that child of yours is in this realm with all of us. It's just we can't always feel it or touch it or see it. But that child is there, loving you and a part of you and a part of all of us. You know, when my father was dying, and remember, this was a man I'd had a lot of upsets and anger with in my lifetime, because 16-year-old doesn't leave home unless there's a lot of confusion in their lives. And this man was a catalyst in my life for me to begin this journey of wanting to know who I am. And he was an alcoholic. He possibly never touched that space I'm speaking of in his lifetime. And when I came to the room where he was dying in his last hours, the moment I walked in the room, I had to go into complete silence because it was like there was light filling the room, just filling it. And I got that he now knew who he was so powerfully. And that all the pain that he might have experienced in this lifetime was not who he was. That he played a role for himself in this life. He played it for many people, and he played it for me. But he was that same essence that I am and that all of us are. So know that love and feel that love, and then you can feel joyful now and begin to live your life again for that exquisite experience that that being has brought to you.
That's really beautiful, Melis. And thank you to Mel for asking that question as well. We're sending you lots of love and healing energy from all of us. Now, Melis, we've actually approaching the end of our hour. In our moments of stillness, it's actually gone so quickly in a sense. It feels like it's gone so quickly, but it's almost like there has also been the eternal element as well that's completely beyond time. And I just really wanted to take this opportunity to first of all thank you for sharing so many wonderful insights over the last 50 minutes. And I know on behalf of all the callers that there are many people who would love to connect more deeply with your work and also potentially come and meet you in person at one of your workshops or retreats coming up. So I was just wondering, first of all, if you could share with people how they can stay in touch with you, and secondly, how they can actually participate in your workshops, products, and programs.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, you can go to my website at www.marliscarlin.com, MarlisekarlIn, which is also the practices. So that's an easy, simple thing to tell people. It's thepractices.com. And there on the events page, you'll see the upcoming events. We will be having another teleseminar in the month of November that everyone can tap into all over the world. There are programs coming up in Europe, in London and Vienna and Croatia, Zagreb, Croatia. The next program will be in London that Alternatives is putting on, and I look forward to seeing you there, Damien.
Yeah, I'll certainly be there.
And I hope everyone who's been checking in from the UK, it's going to be an extraordinary program. And then also the practices are really inside the Stillness Session CD as well, and there will be more coming out. But the first one will be available in early October. And so you'll be able to hopefully download that, but you'll be able to have that and then begin that practice as well. And what I want to say is this, as many of you already know, there is no separation in time and distance when we connect to that core of who we are. And so as you have the wanting to experience this, go to the webpage on stillness and read what it is and begin to tap in now. Ask for that knowing to come to you and you will begin to feel it. Or go to one of the videos on YouTube also with the three-breath awareness and you will feel it. Allow yourself to just be still and feel that stillness coming to you. As I said, you know, there are so many ways to tap into stillness, and the simplicity is one that I know can take you to that place right away. And I'm sure there are others as well, but this is what I have to offer at this time.
And just in terms of the international sharing of these ideas, Marlies, I was just wondering if you could share the favorite place that you've been in the world to actually share these techniques, and also is there a space in the world where you haven't yet been and would love to talk or present as well?
Oh, I love that question. There's so many places I want to go. In fact, one of my visions for next year is that once the teleseminars get set up and happening, I'd like to go to so many places in the world and actually, you know, live there for a month and offer live sessions there and teleseminars so we can all tap in together but also have the experience of being there. You know, that's what I see for this work, is going to many locations around the world and staying there for a period of time and having seminars, teleseminars and webinars where we can all come together. So, I mean, I've been to Africa and to Kenya and to Mali and to all over Europe, and this will be my first time to Croatia, and I've been in Tahiti and in Indonesia. And what I'm really loving now is also, once I was in Egypt, and I actually was on a boat going down the Nile, and I offered a stillness program inside one of the beautiful rooms of the boat and invited the people from the boat to come. And we counted at the end of it that there were 9 different cultures, people from 9 different cultures and religions, all in that space together, all connecting to the space of the heart. And there was no separation between and no discussion of what religion, what this, what that. It was just that place of connection. So I look forward to bringing that together again, that vision of who we are in the world, you know, that unity in the world again and again in the coming year.
Absolutely. It's one of the most exciting things about the era that we're living in, and certainly one of the real driving motivations for people you should meet to actually bring people together, hearts and minds from all cultures, creeds, and all geographical centres around the world, and really, I guess, together come and just really acknowledge and honour our collective humanness, but also honour and appreciate our differences and our the different things that make us unique as well. But it's a very, just to allow that kind of energy to really emanate from the world that we live in is something that this program is certainly truly committed to, and it's awesome to hear that's you're bringing that about as well with your work, Melise.
I love it. So invite me.
Excellent. Great. So now's the time. I just really wanted to once again thank you so much, Melise, for sharing your deep insights. I'm very, very excited about seeing you in London very shortly. And also just wanted to say a very big thank you to everyone at home. These conversations that we have week to week are a really powerful way to come present to life and to really allow yourself to grow and to evolve and to bring love and light and peace and joy and so many other beautiful qualities to your life as well. Now, one of the things I do urge everyone to do is to actually take a big step forward with this material. Every week we make these recordings available for free on the website the day after the call. So if something in this call has really resonated with you and moved you, just by taking that simple step forward, as we've discussed on the call this evening, to actually take this work and share it with other people really could change someone's life forever. So I do really encourage you all, if you feel that urge, to act on it and to just embrace the ability to share these recordings, because that's exactly what they're there for.
Beautiful.
Great. So, Melise, in coming to the end of our call, I just had one final question for you. And was just wondering for people sitting at home, potentially wondering whether stillness is something that could really help transform their lives. I was just wondering if you had any final words of inspiration for them.
Yes, I just want to add that it's not only about the moment in quiet. It's about what begins to happen in every day of your life. It is about creating your life to be the way you envision it. So it is about taking it into the action of life, into the practical of life. And I send everyone so many blessings and so much love to experience the knowing of who you are.
Thank you so much, Melise. And thank you, everyone at home. And have a good evening.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care. Bye.